Genesis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic today is imagination. And the following quote comes from the writings of Alice Bailey, as does all of the dialogue on this show. Anything that you'll hear on this show emanates from the 24 works of literature that were written by Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. The secret of all true meditation lies in the ability to use the creative powers of the imagination. Seems like the imagination, according to Alice Bailey, is something very powerful. Maybe we better really review what imagination really is. What is imagination?
Imagination is one of those qualities that has a higher and a lower aspect to it. I think all of us are familiar with the imagination in the traditional sense of building a kind of an image or a picture in your mind of a hypothetical situation. There's another part to the imagination that's deeply spiritual, and it's related to a combination of mental and emotional energy that becomes, you could say, organized and merged. It's work with energy in the most spiritual sense, because when you imagine, you are creating something in the mind, drawing upon, I suppose, past experience, memory, perhaps fear, or anticipation. Imagination, I think, is a quality that really distinguishes the human kingdom from the animal kingdom. Human beings have the capacity to remember and to anticipate. They don't just live in the present, even though the Buddha told us that we should. We think a lot about the future, and we plan for it, anticipate it, sometimes dread it. So the imagination is that power within us that projects itself into the inner realm, whether it's of the future or of the subjective side of life.
Yes, it's the it's said to be the picture-making faculty that everybody has developed in their own nature. And as you say, it's hard to really identify it, because it's a combination of emotional energy and the energy of the mind, and it's that's where it originates, as I believe, and it's a combination of these two energies. So it is neither pure energy of the mind nor the pure energy of the emotional nature, of the astral plane, as they call
time.
It. But it's a combination, and it's the combination that enables one to produce these pictures.
Somewhere in the writings of Alice Bailey, she says that the imagination is the highest aspect of the emotional realm, which suggests that art, beauty, creativity are linked closely with the refined emotional sensibility in the use of the imagination. And yet you're right, it does draw upon the mind too. You have to have a clear, fluid mind.
Yes, imagination actually it enables us to build a bridge between the lower nature of the astral plane and the brain, actually, to build a bridge between that lower nature and the brain and the mind. And it's bringing both of these great powers together. And so we use this energy in our subjective creative work.
I wonder if that thought lies behind the power of the song by John Lennon, Imagine, which was one of, I think, of his final creations before he died. And it's it really is quite a thoughtful and beautiful song in which he asks us to imagine a world without hatred, without war, without prejudice, without divisions. That's drawing on this emotional desire nature for a better world.
Absolutely, and that's the great power of thought, and the power of using this kind of energy can be used in just such a way, in these creative ways.
Well, I like to think of that thought, and I hope it's not arrogant to say it, but the thought of what the mind of man can conceive, the mind of man can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's overdoing it. That might be a large expectation of the imagination.
No.
Well, then if that's true, then we can each of us individually use the imagination in order to enhance our own personal development. And Lucis Trust does have a gift for you that may help you to exercise your imagination, but we'll talk more about that in a little while. The opening quote does mention the creative power of the imagination. How is the imagination used creatively, though?
Well, I think, as you implied, we have to be aware that when we are using the imagination, we are creating. And we should be careful, therefore, what we are imagining, because we may possibly be building something on an inner subjective level that will eventually manifest itself in an external way. I think there's... it's not wise to overdo that thought. I mean, as Alice Bailey pointed out in her autobiography, she spent her whole lifetime fearing all kinds of things that never came to be. And I can certainly testify to that, too. A lot of us deal with fear, and it doesn't necessarily play itself out. But there is a reality to the saying that be careful what you desire because you might get it. We do start the process of manifestation by how we use our mind and desire, and that's the creative aspect. I suppose all great art begins with an image or a vision in the artist's mind.
In the mind's eye. Mm.
Yeah, and he brings to that vision the emotional quality of a longing for beauty or for whatever effect he wants to manifest. I think most artists would say they're always disappointed by what they actually bring through,
mm-hmm.
because they have a vision of an ideal that's beyond what they can really achieve to their satisfaction. Henry James touched on that when he wrote about the grasping imagination. It grasps, it tries to seize an ideal or a vision and bring it through. There was some sculptor that was asked how he did what he did in rock, and he said, well, I look at a rock and I take away all the parts that don't express the image.
That's that's a.
We'll have 5 minutes to think about that.
Yeah, you've got me dwelling on that one.
Yeah, it's the truth is buried within the stone, so you cut
just
away.
Just waiting to get out.
Yeah. And there's another way in which this creative imagination can be used, and it's one of the techniques we use in the Arcane School and the work of the Lucis Trust. And that's called the as-if technique. And we use this as a technique to draw in the qualities of the soul. In other words, we ask students to think of the soul, first of all, to conceive of the soul and the beautiful qualities that make up the soul, because this is essentially what you are and what I am and what everybody else is, this soul waiting to manifest its qualities in the world. And if you open a way to the soul by using this as if technique of imagining what the soul qualities are and seeing those qualities manifesting through yourself, then this is a way to use your imagination and visualization powers creatively. You bring through the qualities of love, which are basically the energies of the soul, and you open a channel or a doorway to the soul, right, and allow those energies to flow into your life. And that's the way that one using the as-if technique can really manifest the soul in his life.
It's said that the imagination is seated or anchored in the heart. And there's a saying from the Bible that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Meaning what we really think and aspire to in our deepest, innermost center is what we really are. And I think that ties in with what you're saying, that we are already the soul. We may not reveal that as fully as we wish, but at our basest, our most fundamental point, not basest, our most fundamental level of our being, we are the soul. And the more that we can envision what that implies, the more we can begin to manifest it. In fact, there's an ancient Hindu text called the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which is one of the earliest written texts available to humanity, that goes way back to early times. And in that Yoga Sutra, there's the statement that that which works out on the physical plane is always a thought. So when thoughts which are contrary to yoga, to union, are present, there should be the cultivation of their opposite. You create, you build by replacing, not by suppressing. You don't serve any purpose by denying, but you replace.
You build in something better.
Mm-hmm. Substitute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the as-if technique comes in, because you are essentially building those qualities, those higher spiritual qualities, and you're producing in your mind, in your imagination, a archetypal image that you want to replicate in the world.
And the more clearly and crisply you form that image, the more power it has.
That's right. And the more you can hold that image in your mind and keep it alive by your attention, then that keeps the technique flowing and the energy flowing, because you're setting up a rapport between the soul and that image, that the image that you have created of the soul, and that opens the door for the energies of the soul to pour through.
Don't you think that the people who really achieve the amazing and unpredictable feats in life are those who have a vision that they never allow to waver? They never lose heart, no matter how hard the going is. They never give up. They never doubt the possibility of realizing their vision. I don't mean to say that they're obsessed with it, but they unwaveringly hold it in their mind, and I think that's a productive use of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. They have a one-pointed purpose that they're working out in their life, right?
And for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is imagination, and we have a gift for you that I hope will be a catalyst as far as expediting your own strength of imagination, because imagination is powerful, and I think that through the tool of imagination, we can create a whole new reality for ourselves and perhaps even the world. So if you'd like to order our gift, the gift is a pamphlet And much of the pamphlet is very much in sync with what we're talking about today, imagination. The title of the pamphlet is Energy Follows Thought. Energy Follows Thought. And all you have to do to get us to send out this gift to you is give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, in case you're driving, you can't write it down, is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, and that's the number you'll call if you would like us to send you that that gift. And the gift is a pamphlet that is very much parallel to what we're talking about today, imagination. Title of the pamphlet, just ask for Energy Follows Thought. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, Lucis Trust is the sponsor of this show, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. And donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. The biggest question that people seem to ask us, the most commonly, frequently asked question is, are you a religion? Is Lucis Trust a religion? We can answer that right now. No, Lucis Trust is not a religion. In fact, if you go to any of the Lucis Trust meetings, you'll meet with people from a multiple number of backgrounds, all different religions, and I guess the one commonality that we all share is Lucis Trust, as well as the people who attend, seem to be interested in the improvement of mankind. I guess, for lack of a better definition, we're a spiritual philosophy organization. So come join us, talk with us, have an interesting discussion, meditate with us. And once again, for that gift, just call us up at 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NY-LUCIS. There's so much power to the imagination. I'm certainly gathering that from this discussion. I've heard this one statement. I guess it's along the line of the esoteric, but I've thought about it. It's literature where I derive this thought, that the mind is a universal magnet, and when we imagine something, if we think on it strongly, we will draw to us, like a magnet, all the people, situation, places, and events that will help materialize the thought. Do you think that's overdoing it, or does imagination have that kind of power?
I think it can have that kind of power. It depends on the concentration and the intensity of the thought of the individual, the person doing it. Most of us are saved from ourselves because the power of our thoughts are not that potent. Mm-hmm. They don't carry that far. So, but the more that mental one becomes in his outlook in life and focus, I think the more powerful our thoughts tend to become.
Okay, so. Well said. That was interesting. What are the visualization? I think is a part of. Of imagination, sometimes a part of meditation. What other practical ways can visualization, how can it be used?
I think that it could be used a lot more in the way that we teach our children. We seem to focus so much as a society on the more material aspects of knowledge, developing the intelligence in a way that focuses almost entirely on the physical outer planes of life, developing skills and talents and so on. But there isn't enough emphasis, in my opinion, on developing the sense of fantasy and of the creative imagination in even very young children. And this is an interesting point with me, because I remember very distinctly when I was 6 years old having scarlet fever. And I had to lie in bed. This was the treatment at the time. Lie in bed for 4 weeks, not getting up and doing anything. They were worried about damage to the heart, I guess. So I had this boring time of feeling okay, but not being able to move around. And I remember learning at that time that I had an imagination that could occupy my time. And I developed the ability to create stories and fantasies within my little head that stayed with me throughout most of my youth and well into my adulthood, really. It's a, I suppose different temperaments are more prone to that habit or not, but I've tried to deliberately inhibit it as an adult because you can spend a lot of time on the inner abstract levels of life and not enough on the outer, but I do think that for children it's a very important creative quality that helps them to begin to see that they have a life ahead of them that they can create through right desire, right aspiration, through learning to hold a vision or a goal in mind and working toward it, not demanding immediate fulfillment.
Yes, I agree, and that's that's a very good learning and stimulating tool for children to develop their mental capacities, I think. But as you say, I think you implied that if you carry this fantasy building or image kind of building into your adult life, and then it becomes a big waste of energy. You know? Mm-hmm. It can become very time-consuming and very exhausting, I think, and one tends to live in fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it goes to the other extreme.
Right, there's a balance.
Yeah.
And it, actually, the imagination used rightly is a balancing factor that creates a kind of a right tension between the inner and the outer levels of life where we need to function. We need to have that abstract awareness of the inner side of life that reveals meaning and significance to us. But we also need to live in a way that's practical, and visualization is a tool for this. Through meditation, for example, meditation can use visualization to serve the need of humanity in a spiritual way.
Visualization is very important in meditation, especially in the meditation work that we do, and which we can discuss sometime. But I was going to mention the creative use of the imagination and visualization in healing, because this is another area where the visualization is very important in directing healing energies.
Didn't you interview a nurse once about that?
Yes, she.
Doris Krieger.
Yes, yeah, she did therapeutic touch.
Mm-hmm. She work with visualization, or am I wrong?
I believe there was some visualization involved in it, but I'm thinking particularly of group healing, groups involved in healing work that distribute energies from a distance, let's say, or even perhaps in the same room with the patient, where visualization is very important to set up the situation where of the part of the patient that has to be healed, you know, and it's directing energies in a proper way, and visualization is very necessary in that, very accurate and one-pointed visualization, and so that it's the energy gets directed properly.
I wonder if people realize how much they visualize just instinctively or innately. I think every good business person is able to visualize. They may not realize that anybody who's ever worked toward a goal and achieved it has practiced visualization. But what we're talking about today is visualizing on a more spiritual level that deals with qualities such as love, the will to good, inclusiveness, sharing, justice, unity. If we can learn to visualize the expression of these qualities within ourselves and within our society, we can begin to create forms through which this energy which lies behind these qualities emerges.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Now, I'm defining visualization as the act of drawing, creating a picture in one's in the mind's eye. Is that correct?
Yes, I think, except the only thing I question is what you might mean by picture, because visualization doesn't concern only the creation of a form. It concerns the direction of energy. Mm-hmm. For example, when we close the program with the Great Invocation, we say, let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Mm-hmm. That's a statement of visualization that doesn't really create a pictorial image, but it does evoke the mobilization of energy to imagine what a world in which light and love and power express themselves would be like. Mm. Do you see the difference?
Yeah. Very good. I'm glad that cleared that up for me. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How does this relate to imagination?
Well, there's a connection between the heart and the intuition. There's a direct connection in the constitution of the human being. And we've talked before about the intuition being the Buddhic nature. It's that aspect of the human equipment or structure that enables us to touch with our mind the plan of God. So I think the imagination is a bridge between the heart center, the spiritual heart, and the intuition.
Yes, for the heart has to be involved in, especially in healing. And as we mentioned before, thinketh, as the quote says, as a man thinketh in his heart. And the heart has to be involved for this energy of love to flow. And that's extremely important for to bring in the higher mind or the intuition.
In a way, the heart is our authenticity, our truest self, you could say. It's not just sensing and feeling, but our authentic identification with our fellow men.
Mm-hmm. And once again, if you'd like us to send you the gift that we talked about earlier, we'll be more than happy to send it out to you. All you have to do is give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll send the gift out to you right away. 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.